Welcome to the Property Strategy Podcast. It's your boys in a building again.
What are you saying?
We're blessed, man. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Been getting loads of messages. When are you guys going to record again, man? When are you guys going to record?
So we're
here today.
So thank you for your patience, guys. Yeah. It's just been a massive manic few months, should I say?
Yeah, it has been. I think because we're all busy and we're all doing stuff, it's hard to get us all free at the same time.
That's
what it is.
And I think we toyed with the idea of doing Zoom and recording, but I remember the last time we done Zoom, someone cussed us in the DM, said
so
the audio wasn't good. And so we thought, do you know what, let's just, when we're ready or when we can, you know, create the time.
Yeah,
it's not easy, man. I'm not even gonna lie. We're not gonna sugarcoat and say,
I feel like with age as well, you only get busier.
Yeah, you only get busier.
I had a lot more free time a few years ago. Now it's like,
and you thought you was busy back then.
And I thought I was busy. Now I'm very busy. And plus I have a little daughter now.
Yeah,
I ain't got a daughter now.
Man,
so
you're a dad now, yeah?
Yeah, because I'm a dad now. So obviously I even have less time. You know what I'm saying? So but then
people say stuff like, you make time for what you care about. You know when people say that, like, oh, I ain't got time, but yeah, you make time for what you care about.
You don't care about people listening.
No, that's you. That's don't take it there. I'm just saying someone might try to say that, like, you don't. But I was just joking though. But
if we're recording, trust me, we care. Behind the scenes, like, there's a lot that we talk about and that we do. So we do care about you, and that's why we're here today.
Yeah, and do you know what? Another thing as well. Like, we understand that people find this very, very valuable. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was in Birmingham the other day randomly walking, and someone said, look, because of your podcast, was able to sort this rent to buy situation out or blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like people still listen. So for that, that helps us as well to know that, you know, we're still being listened to. So
And we appreciate that you trust us as well with information, because trust me, we don't take it lightly at all. Because if I was out there listening in, I would want someone that I can relate to. And if I found another, like, someone like us who drops a knowledge and who have been for years consistently, listen, I would want to hear from them constantly. Yeah. So we understand that, we hear that for the people out there that have been listening to us for a minute. You know, we're back, we're here, and we want to drop this episode. So, yeah, Akin, how have you been?
No, I'm good, man. Actually, everything you're saying is literally what I'm thinking as well. Yeah, man. I think it's not a bad thing to be busy. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we're just sitting at home. We're putting in work. So, yeah, I feel like what I think we'll do moving forward is probably have more like seasonal activity. Do you know what I mean? So, like, we'll come and we'll drop
gems, episodes back to back.
Drop some workshops, some events, back to back, and then, you know what I mean, we'll go back into ghost mode for a little bit. Cause
do like doing events as well, because it is good to see people on the other end of this, like when they say, listen to this episode, or when they refer to things in the episode and you're like, that did happen, innit?
I think, there's going to be loads of stuff coming up, so we're excited about, and a lot more stuff and content to share and things like that. But yeah, I think, this sometimes we're gonna have our periods where we have to just put in a bit of work. Do you know what I mean? So I think people understand that, so it's calm.
All right, cool. So this week we wanted to discuss a few things, but these are just questions that we feel you would want to have an answer to. Things that we feel that you're probably Googling or going on YouTube to research, or you've already asked us. So we're going to be talking about a few of them. First one being, how do you do property while in a 9-to-5? And would we actually recommend it? Or you could also ask how to do full-time property, if that's what you want to do as well. So yeah, let's go with the first part. How to do property while having a 9-to-5? Let's go back to day one.
Yes. You know?
We're all at work, or we're all out of uni.
Yeah.
Either way, we're busy trying to look for work, or we're all at work day one. How are we doing this?
Yeah, so for me, back then when I finished uni, like you were saying, that's when I started getting interested in property, and then I started looking at, okay, how can I get involved in property? For me at that point, I knew that if I still wanted to be in my 9-to-5, I wanted to invest in property, I had to kind of invest in something that wouldn't require me to be available 24/7 or 7 days a week around the clock. So straight away, I knew I couldn't do anything like, you know, HMO, anything to do with HMO, because I just need, it would be quite hands-on. And then that's why I kind of thought about investing in like a singlet, whereby I know that, you know, it's going to be somebody living there for a long term. There's going to be less phone calls, right? But then after that, obviously, you get excited and you want to like create a business and blah, blah, blah. And the rent-to-rent comes about. And then you realize that, okay, I want to do something like a rent-to-rent. But with rent-to-rent, that's going to require a lot of your time. So for me, back then, it was just, we tried to kind of put in systems while still in the 9-to-5. So just stuff like, you know, making the calls at lunchtime, blah, blah, blah. And also having a good agent to kind of do certain things for you. So like a handyman or whatnot to kind of do certain things for you. So while you're still at work. So to kind of, from that perspective, starting up, the key to me was getting into something that wasn't too, too rigorous, that it didn't require me to be there 24/7. And also just having somebody that I kind of trust to kind of sort out the maintenance kind of things, if that makes any sense.
I'll make two points.
I think first one is that, I think I was a bit different when I came into, as in working and getting involved in property, because obviously I'd seen you in it. And I think I already kind of knew that for me to engage in it, I need to be in a job that's quite flexible. So I've always had, or ever always been in a tech background, so always worked sometimes from home, or worked, you know, some days in office, some days at home, or, you know, every day at home or stuff like that. So I think that helped me, because then, you know, I mean, especially doing certain work where you're remote and these things, even before COVID, where it was like, after COVID, it's like a normal thing now. But even before that, I was onto that kind of thing. So that helped me to kind of always kind of have that time to kind of do what I need to do, but also get work done as well. I think from early, I'll caveat that to say that, because I know that the conversation is a lot to do with now about like, I hate my 9-to-5, or I'm in 9-to-5, but I want to go into full-time property. And I'm sometimes looking at that conversation making, it's kind of, it sounds a bit naive, do you know what I mean? It's like, you're dropping one headache for
a bigger headache.
And trust me, property is a headache.
It can be a headache if you haven't got systems in place, especially. Exactly. It can be a big headache. So I'll just caveat to say that most people that engage in property actually have good jobs. Do you know what I mean? Who else? Who are we sourcing properties for? We're not sourcing properties for people that are already in property. Yeah. They can probably find their own deal. You're sourcing properties for people that are in good
jobs,
stable.
Who don't have a lot of time.
They don't have enough time. So, you know, I could pick 10 industries right now where, you know, people are making good money, don't have much time, but then they're heavily invested in property because they got a good job. So I think maybe that mindset itself is a, probably the, maybe needs to be challenged in terms of like, I hate my job, I need to stop working and going into business, because it's not all fun and games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even those that are in property, you're constantly thinking about cash flow. What does that look like? You're constantly having to raise funds for different projects. Project manager, that probably comes with more pressure than a 9-to-5.
There you go.
9-to-5, you kind of have a fallback plan of, do you know what I mean, this and that. So, but yeah, I think for that number one, being in 9-to-5 and then working and then doing the business stuff, I feel like the big thing that it comes with is just, it gives you that security of cash flow. And if you're flexible enough, you've got enough time to kind of balance the both until you get to a place where one side is kind of doing well enough to be like, actually, I don't need to I don't necessarily need to work. So,
and the thing is, some people love like the 9-to-5 and don't want to give it up. Anyway, they love it and they just, but they still want to have an investment. So again, you see how we preach that, you know, investing wise, property is good because it's tangible, blah, 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 in comparison to some of the other volatile ones, if that makes sense. So some people love their 9-to-5, but still want to get involved in property. So with those kind of people, what would you say, is there any tips you'd say for them to be able to kind of achieve that?
Yeah, you know, I'll actually add to this one, because for me personally, so with my job, if people don't already know about me, so I was working in a lab as a senior biomedical scientist. And with me, it was like my first job that I had, like we didn't have a plan when we first started property. We were just like, listen, let's just figure this out. And I realized quickly that because of the distance that I was traveling to work and the hours I was working, it wasn't making sense for me to do both. Like I was struggling. But what made it easier was having Goke there. Because when I couldn't do certain things, he might be able to. He might be free to make that phone call. But essentially, it was difficult. And do I recommend it now? It can be possible, because going off what Goke was saying, like, you have to bear in mind, back then, I didn't think it was possible, so I switched to somewhere that was closer to home. And then I realized, okay, I can still get around and make my phone calls during my shifts, but it's not easy. And then when I changed my shift hours completely, where it left me free during the week and it left me free during the day to actually make calls, to run around, to do things, and then I was working hours that were at night and in the evening, that made life easy for me because it works out well for me because it's way easier because at nighttime there's hardly any work compared to during the daytime, so I'm a lot more at ease. Second of all, it frees me up during the day when, if I ever need to do stuff, if I haven't got it in a system. But for me, when I first started doing that, it freed me up where I could do a lot. And you know, I was younger, I was active, I could do everything. I was on like 6 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep, but that felt like 10 hours. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was able to do it. So going off what Goku was saying though, some people generally like their jobs, and they're on good salary. What are you saying, that I should drop my job because it's a job, but I'm earning $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month? But I should drop it just to say I'm in full-time property? Like, you have to look at these things as well, where does it actually make financial sense?
That's what it comes down to. I think you made two great points, which is number one, people are in positions where they love their 9-to-5s, or not even 9-to-5s, they love their jobs, their income. You know what I mean? They love their income, innit? Like, and the jobs they do. Like, I've talked, right now, where sourcing for, you know, models, we're sourcing for professional, you know, athletes, you know, we're doing it for professional entertainers, you know what I'm trying to say, corporate people that are in, you know, creative spaces, you know, when I look at the different people that we source properties for and we do and we work with, whether it's for investing into our projects or helping them find their own property, like, they're all busy. But it doesn't necessarily mean they don't love their job. They literally love what they do every single day, and but they just don't have the time to do it. So the way they engage with it is that they make the money like a footballer. He makes his, you know, six figures a week or whatever it is. Then it's like, bro, you invest my money. Do you know what I'm saying? We can educate them on what we're doing, but they don't have the time. And another thing that they do as well, which you mentioned subconsciously, is like, the best way to engage with property when you're working full-time is to work with other people. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you by yourself might only earn $3,000 a month and have saved up $15,000. But if you're in that position, you could also make, you know, team up with another two people that are in the same position. They also earn $3,000. Now together you guys earn almost $10,000 a month.
Exactly.
You now have over $45,000 saved. You can now get your first property straight away just because you're teaming up. So I think the key element there is like cash flow. Always cash flow number one. And the best cash flow you can get, the easiest cash flow you can get, is probably from a job. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Not everyone's supposed to be a entrepreneur. Get yourself a job, you enjoy, and then see where you're at with that, and then go, okay, cool. Maybe I'm in a position where I've earning $10,000 a month. I don't need to partner with anybody. Or I'm only earning $2,000 a month, so I probably need to start with a different kind of strategy and start pairing up with people. So I think just get the ball rolling by just removing those barriers to entry. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But, you know, add to that as well, I think what's even more important is the fact that you need to know yourself as a person, right?
Yes.
I'm saying that to say this, I know somebody that has three different contracts, and is still doing property.
Come on.
And is doing bits in property, right? But it's working full time. It's got three different contracts, but it's still doing a lot of stuff in property. So the point I'm trying to make is, you need to know yourself. I know myself, innit? I know that I wouldn't be able to do that. I can't be doing three different contracts and then also be killing a property. For me, I don't work like that. My headspace, I can't do that, right? Yeah. So you need to know what kind of person you are personally to know that if you can handle doing both. Like, you know, you're that flexible, you can...
You know, it's so crazy because there's been times where I've worked contracts throughout my time where I've been working in property. So sometimes I've been full-time in property and then I've been like, oh, I'm taking on a few more projects.
I need that
I've always been able to bang jobs really good, like get good jobs quickly and do the stuff. I was like, bro, I'm going to bang a 6-month contract, be earning a good amount daily, and I'm going to now jump on that. And I feel like, for me personally, even though at the time I'm stressed, I'm like, at least I know every month, boom,
you're getting
that piece coming in. Do you know what I mean? As things are coming over, as things are progressing with the project, even if that money comes in, I'm like, I don't even need to stress because I know for that period of time. Don't get me wrong, as I'm getting older now, I'm seeing that I'm happy I did that work because I'm not looking to do that anymore as much. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking to work a lot more smarter now. But at the time, bro, that gave me the most, the most just ease of feeling of like, and do you know what I mean? And I'm one of those sort of people that like, I'd rather take less money, less profit from the deal, but have someone else partner with me so that there's a little bit more security.
Mm. And just going off of that,
just
adding to that. So there was a podcast that me and Goku used to listen to back in there. Mm. It wasn't Rob and Rob, it was the next. So, but the thing was, one of them was still a full-time doctor, full-time. And his partner used to do most of the running around, but they had an agreement and a sort of partnership where they still worked on getting deals and they were still basically had a fully functioning property business where they were both eating. Yeah. But either way, they knew, okay, I'm earning good money in my job that I love, because to be a doctor, you have to love it. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. So that he loved and he was earning a good income, but that made him not have as much time. So he partnered up with someone who did have a lot of time and their partnership was great. And that's who was educating us. So already from the get-go, when I was learning, I was already getting the right sort of mindset in knowing that, okay, this is about cash flow. At the end of the day, everybody wants freedom. Are you really, and everyone's trying to get there. So if you're, say your target is 10K a month and from property you're doing 5, from your job you're doing 5, you know what I mean? Like you're hitting your 10K a month. Do you know what I'm saying? So you got to know yourself. Like okay, said, like some people can do 3-4 contracts and do full-time property. And the way that it works for them, they've patterned it, you know, they've got things in place.
What I would say as well is that that transition period now between being working and going to full-time into the business, I do think that people, what's the word, almost like over, like decorate it or like make it sound sexy, do you know what I mean? I don't really think it's a sexy process, to be honest. I reckon it just kind of happens, do you know what I mean? You build systems in place that mean that what you're earning from your job, actually your business is making more than that and you can comfortably live on that consistently. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you have one good month. You have a good 6 months in a row. You're like, this is a business now. This is this is systems, do you know what I mean, that are in place. Then after that, I feel like then you can then say, okay, cool. If you want to, you might actually over index on the business because you're like, look, the system's there. I just need to add more fuel to the fire. I can then leave the 9-to-5 behind or leave the job behind, do you know what I mean? But only if that's, again, what makes sense for you as a person. Because, if I was a footballer playing for Chelsea, I ain't gonna lie, bro. No footballer's leaving his job.
Exactly. You know what I
mean? That's his retirement plan. I feel like one thing is like knowing who you are as a person, how to interact with property, but also what's your goal? Do you know what I mean? Like, is your goal to earn 5 bags a month from property and then retire? Or is it to be a biggest developer there was, you know, ever.
Real,
do you know what I mean? Because that's two different
mindsets.
I want
you to enjoy as well.
I want you to enjoy
what's
as well.
What's your enjoyment?
What do you enjoy? Because like some people come to me and like, oh, I really want to, like, my passion is just to...
Interior design.
Do you know what I mean? So you might lean towards doing an Airbnb business or providing a service. That's another conversation. Everyone wants to get into property just for the property, which I believe is still the end goal. But maybe you interact with it more as a business. Maybe you find a niche there that you can, do you know what I mean? Maybe it's more of a business opportunity whereby, you know, for us, obviously sourcing is a huge one, but it's like, you don't need to necessarily do a rent-to-rent business, basically. Do you know what I mean? You may, because that's another thing people come to me and say, oh, I want to start a rent-to-rent business. I'm like, bro, it might not work for you. I'm not that you can't do it, but it might not be your best strategy for you. I mean? Maybe you should offer a service that goes along with rent to rent or with another strategy, etc. So I just think, I think people just need to maybe look inwardsly first. And then before interacting. But just looking at what advantages and disadvantages you have, do you know what I mean? And then using that to make a decision.
And also if you are going down that route of trying to be full time and then want to do property part time, don't underestimate the use of VAs. Philippines.
Shed some light on that. Like, actually,
it's a cheat code because obviously the salary for them is less than what you would pay somebody to work for you here in this country. The most important bit is training them on what exactly they need to do. And then you can have a couple of VAs, you can have one VA, you can have two VAs, like, do you know what I'm saying? So, and to do stuff like looking for deals, which is what we use them for.
Wait, hold on. What does VA mean, by the way?
Virtual assistant.
There you go.
So, online, blah, blah, blah. Right? It's literally, you can use them to find deals for you. You can use them to make calls for you. You can use them to create documents for you. So like, it's literally use them. Like, VAs are like, it's a cheap.
That goes into a good conversation because it's like the biggest thing, the hardest thing to do to transition from like the 9-to-5 to like the working like full time into the business, I think is the mindset shift. Do you know what I mean? Of like even to get to a place where we use VAs, bro, it was a struggle. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, why didn't you VA? I just do it myself.
He's
gonna take longer.
Yeah, or you might not have my eye. Like,
you might not have my eye. Yeah. But if you actually invest in that training for the next 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, you're thinking that's long. Right. Bro, by the time he gets 6 to 8 weeks, he might be doing better than you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And then by the time you're doing that, he's making you more money that basically pays himself twice. Then you can take another one.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like the mindset shift of like, actually, I need to focus on the business, not in the business. It's like a cliche.
It's tough.
It's a tough thing.
It's so tough.
Especially from our backgrounds. Mm. We came from working class backgrounds. We came from...
Graft. The harder you...
Your mom says, where you go... Yeah, I mean, well done. You look like you're sweating today. No, it's fact.
It's fact. And that's a good point you've been making because it gets slightly off topic, but still relevant, yeah? Mm. Like, look at the way we run projects now, yeah? Mm. On site, running from site to site, on site, active, want to be there, always there, you know, project managing ourselves. And it's just getting to that mindset whereby you don't, when you're scaling up, you're not going to have time. You can't be at 15 different sites.
Don't get me wrong at the beginning, but you need to learn everything to know what makes sense. Even
what you enjoy doing.
What you enjoy doing and the builders you're working with. Mm.
Learn the trade at the beginning.
But then you get to a place where it's like, you don't got to be there.
Yeah, you actually don't have to be there.
You could be working on getting more deals or more funds
or raising money, yeah.
For you know you're doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's that mentality of I'm only ready to take on X amount of projects. Mm. But now once you've got that confidence, which is all it is, it's just systems and confidence.
Yeah.
Now you can say I'm going to take on 10 deals because you've got things in place. It's the same process and stuff like that. So I think that is, again, for those that want to go down that route. Mm. I think it's not for everyone as well. By the way, but you know what I mean.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Talking on that, I guess we've kind of answered it, but. Let's just finalize. So is it something that you recommend working 9 to 5 alongside business, or do you recommend going full time? And if so, like any tips on how to do it?
Yeah, for me, it's just whatever tickles your fancy. Like there's no right or wrong answer. I can't sit here and recommend to somebody the best way to run their life. But the point is both is possible. You can be 9 to 5 and still have a property business or still invest in property on the side. Like it's possible. But number one, you need to know yourself and know your capabilities, because if you're trying to do really well in both of them, you need to know what kind of person you are. And if you've got the mind frame to be able to do that at a high level. Two, you know, using resources, you know, VAs and stuff like that, and also having the right systems in place if you want to do it. And then obviously, like Akin was saying, if you are trying to transition from, I don't really enjoy my job, so I want to do full-time property, that's fine. Just don't forget, with property, cash flow is key. It's all well and good, you know, raising money and getting debt, but at some point you're going to need equity, you're going to need skin in the game. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure you have a route on how you're going to build that equity pot. So how are you going to start, where's your cash flow coming from, basically? So if you are going to go down the full-time route, know where your cash flow is coming from, because in this game, regardless of what they say, no money down, blah, blah, you need money, property, do you know what I'm saying? So, and on top of that, you need ability to be able to raise money as well. So,
Okay. Going off of that then.
What are you saying about it as well?
Yeah, no, I think it's possible to do both. Mm. We know.
Is it possible or recommended?
Oh, recommended, like I said, I mean, it's up to them personally, but if you're asking me, I recommend it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a part-time job, just because it gives you that little, like, if you're in property and you've been in property before COVID and you're still in property, then I rate you because you understand struggle. You understand what it's like to still maintain the bills and keep people and, you know, get things over the line. Mm. So if you've been in that moment, you understand the importance and the use of having other sources of income when times are hard.
Another reason why you doing working full-time or part-time or whatever and still investing in property by having that cash flow, another reason is good is one thing I used to say back in the days, because you guys know how aggressive I was when I was working full-time, how aggressive I was with raising money. Like I was still trying to raise money but I used to tell myself that the reason I was okay being aggressive is I said, worst case scenario, I'm gonna pay it in a month anyway. Like if the deal flops or whatever, I can just use salary money to kind of cover it and stuff
exactly
like that. So
that.
It's just that extra level of
security,
especially early on.
Yeah, so personally, I would recommend doing it, but That's only if it doesn't affect your hours that you're able to work in business. You know, try and do things, try and go for jobs where they give you flexibility, try and go for jobs where maybe you can work from home so you can move around and travel to places while working, or they give you flexi time where you can do things at your own time as long as the work is done, or, you know, change of hours so that you're not working during times when you're going to be normally doing business stuff. So just do things like that. If you're going to go down that route, which I do recommend, then make sure that it makes sense, like physically too. So yeah,
this is not financial advice though.
This is not financial advice.
But you can't sue Kenny because Kenny said recommended.
Exactly.
Oh, also, and what Goke said as well, VAs. If we knew about VAs from day one, that would have been a life. That would have been a game changer. Yeah. Because
I can say it's mindset though, because you can know about VAs, but
and then you don't know what to do with them.
You don't know how to. Because training, you know how to grow.
The training bit is the most important.
You know how to motivate people, grow people, do that kind of stuff. But that's a skill of its own. And some people don't. Like I said, most people you find do business. They want to be self-employed. They want to hold things. They want to. How many times have you seen renovations and it's like everyone's, they're doing literally on the floor, they're doing the renovation themselves. And it's like, you've been doing this renovation for like 8 years now.
I could never.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, you know what I mean? So, but I feel like, I would recommend, if you're lucky enough to have a good job, not excuse saying 9 to 5, you're good, recommended. If you're lucky enough to have a good job, good income, you enjoy it, it's no brainer.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't recommend, if you're in that situation, I would recommend not leaving so soon.
If you're on good income. At least. But at the same time, if you're, some people they're just not good in those environments. They just haven't been able, fortunate enough to get good jobs or be in those environments for whatever reason. Then I do feel like there's a lot of different routes within property that you can make good money. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Probably make less. Even, let's not even talk about actual property itself, but even like stuff like trades and different kinds of jobs around property where you could be plumber earning good money. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to working in 9 to 5. So I would say it just depends on the situation.
So
we say this to also say though, like property is not like a magic pill. Like I think we need to like make it clear that, because we get a lot of people that saying, oh, I want to transition to just for property, working
all the
property
time.
I want to replace my income
all the time.
Like for me, I'm taking a step back. Okay, you know, you need to have a plan. Like it's not a case of I'll buy 2 HMO deals or I just get one. Like, do you know what I'm saying? There needs to be like a structure plan, because some people might say to themselves, I need about 5k a month to be able to live, cover my bills and also live. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, property can get you that. However, like it's not a...
And it's even changed. Like I feel like back in the day when we first started, a decent buy-to-let portfolio, let's say of like 5 to 10 properties in the right areas, you were practically financially free and all these things. Now about to let that interest rate went up.
Yeah.
Now you're in a doghouse.
Yeah.
And now, you know, your tenant just said shut up to you. Do you know what I mean? Like situation changed real quick. Do you know what I mean? So we're even using different strategies to kind of like
to make sure the cash flow is still flowing.
Exactly, by doing it.
Okay, talking about
things like that.
And then just to segue then, talking about cash flow. So I was talking to my boy recently, who is in a particular field he was presented with a new opportunity in a completely different field that's paying extremely well. And he's really passionate about that field now. So I said to him, so essentially you were passionate about two things, but now you're going with this one. So really it's not about the passion in all of those things. It's that you wanted freedom. You want the thing that will get you to freedom. You want the money that will effectively give you that freedom for you to do what you want to do. So most people are looking for freedom and that's why they choose property. But look at the real reason, because some people are passionate about property and that's different. But if you're looking for freedom through property, then you also got to think, okay, so if we're talking about cash flow and you need to have decent cash flow, so let's say you're in a job that is earning you a certain amount per month and then let's say you leave that job that's earning you 5K per month or so, how are you replacing that with property? That's the question. So how are you replacing it? And there's loads of things. There's loads of strategies. But realistically, let's say somebody today is starting from zero. They have a job. But they now want to say, or they now have asked you, hey, Akin, how do I get 5K a month in property? What do I do? What are the strategies? How do I start? What's this looking at? What are we saying to them?
I think what helps, first of all, is understanding how much they have in the bank or to start off with, right? And the reason I say that is, for me, again, if there's a secret out there that I haven't tapped into, please let me know in it, from, let's put service accommodation aside for now, but for me, if someone came up to me and said, I've got 20K. I want to be earning 5K in property by next year, right? For me, I don't know how quickly that's possible. I don't know if you can achieve that in a year, right? Maybe it's possible, right? There are definitely strategies. That's why I say put service accommodation to the side, because again, I'm talking net, right? I'm talking profit, right? Mm. But I'm only basing that on my personal experience, yeah? For me to be able to earn 5K net in property, it took a while, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking single lets, HMOs, commercial to resi. I'm talking net, so I'm not even talking gross. So for someone to come to you and say, oh, I've got 25K, I want to be earning 5K by next year. Nah, you need to take a step back. Yeah, yeah. Know what strategies your 25K can get into. Okay, have you got a financial backing? So you might only have 25K equity, but you might have an uncle that has half a mil in the bank. Then okay, cool, then there's a conversation we can have there. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a way we can, okay, cool, that means you can only go for certain deals like this, whereby, you know, you can generate X, Y, Z. I said leave service accommodation to the side, because number one, I'm not the best person for service accommodation, but I hear a lot of people say, you can make,
Even talking on that, I spoke to an Airbnb host the other day because I was trying to find someone a place. And I was talking to him, and I was like, listen, I know you've got this for the daily rate, but how much for the month? And it was a double room. And he told me. It was just a double room, but I wanted that room for the month. So he goes to me, that's $3,000 for the month. I was like, for the room?
For the room.
Just the room. He's like, yeah, bro, trust me.
Whereabouts is in London?
This is, I can give the area. This was Woolwich. It was the new part of Woolwich. So I was like, what per month? And I was like, listen, talk to me about that. Because I was curious now, like, what? So you actually earn that per month from that room? He's like, times have changed now. And obviously what I do is I invest a lot in the spec of the house. So it's up to a very high standard. And trust me, you'll be surprised when people book. One guy just booked for 3 months, gave me 9K just yesterday. So I was like,
listen, that room in a shared house?
House. And that's, but it's through Airbnb. He booked it.
That's the new technique that they're saying? Doing, yeah. So instead of booking the whole house, you just do Airbnb on that room.
Exactly.
Wow. A lot of people do that now,
So obviously I was chatting to him and he was telling me how he gets it done, and then I took his number and then we basically chat now. But in general, some people with Airbnb, that's their bread and butter. Yeah. But like he said, how much do you have? How much financial backing do you have? Because 25K is small money to get it ready for him. Like, that might be just to get it ready. And then you start making money, because he's doing it at a high level. If you want that kind of income, then you have to put certain things in there. You might have to put gold cutlery. Do you know what I'm saying? But you got to think outside of the box and think, okay, what type of clients am I going to want here? Do I want, you know, princes from Saudi? Do I want footballers? Do I want But on a real, what type of clients do I want? Or do I just want someone in and out? Quick money.
No, it's a good point.
So I think at some point we maybe need to get someone.
I've already got someone.
I don't want to know how much the Airbnb makes. I want the net. How much after all your bills? Yeah. And obviously, I know it's not consistent as well. Like, as in Airbnb normally is not.
It's not consistent.
One month high, one month down. Yeah.
I think we do need to take, because I remember the experience we had in Birmingham.
It scarred us.
It was in Birmingham. By the way, I've got Airbnb coming to market.
Let's be real.
I got one coming to market next week.
If it's to happen again, though, you'll do things completely different. So who's to say that?
What property? Well, sorry, carry
on. No, you know the property.
Elephant. That's what I'm asking.
So, like, if we were to go back into it, things would be completely different. So you never know. You could actually love it again.
You're right.
As it is, you've chosen a different route. Yeah. But I'm saying, in general, we're talking. So just to go back to that 5K a month, for somebody who has looked within and it actually makes sense, who might be on a bit of a lower budget or might have a huge budget to do something a bit high end, they might say, okay, in this case, Airbnb high end might actually work for me, and I might get to my 5K a month a lot easier doing it this way. Whereas for someone else who might be in full time or who might not have money to get it to that standard, they will struggle doing Airbnb at the start to get it to that 5K.
I'm not going to lie. I've changed my mindset when it comes to property a little bit, you know. Yeah. Like, I look at property as a wealth builder, a long-term thing. Now I don't look at it as a cash cow, or it does cash flow, don't get me wrong, it is a cash flow, but I don't look at it as a cash flow business per se. Like, I've understood that with property now, I've had to have like a cash flowing business to kind of push, you know, everything I want to do in property.
Talk about that then, because obviously you're talking about like cash flow, right? How do you go full-time? I think we both got to a place where it's like the property stuff, it's like you said, it's cash intensive.
Realize cash flow is very important.
Exactly. You need cash flow. So it's like, okay, what business did you do to kind of
With me, I've got this little recruitment thing on the side, recruiting business on the side, which kind of helps bring in a lot of money, right? Also, I do a lot of project management for you know, for clients and stuff like that. Again, that brings in money. And at the end of the day, for me, it was just more, apart from that, I made sure that I've got good equity partners. So people like I know that have money, they can jump on the deal with me at the same time, or debt partners, people I know I can, you know, borrow a quick 50, 20, 30, whatever, offer them a fixed return. And for me, those fundamentals are very important. So I break it down again.
Fundamentals too,
I break it down again is, if you can, if especially because of us, you know, we don't work full time anymore, so we're kind of doing property full time now, so it's like, if you can, have something, a business that's bringing in good cash flow, right? Also have good, build your arsenal of equity partners, if you want to call it that. So for example, for me, it's more important because of the commercial range stuff we do, we need a lot of money to kind of buy these properties because, you know, they're not cheap properties kind of thing. So, and thirdly, build your arsenal of debt partners. So people who just want a fixed return will give you, you know, happy to give you 30, 40, 50, 100K for a fixed return. So for me, you get those three things right, have your system in place with your VA or whatnot, then I think, you know,
5K a month.
Happy days.
More than 5K.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, similarly as well, like I got to a place where it was like, yeah, the property stuff is moving, but like you said, like especially when you want to transition from working into full time, I think for me, the finding a business that made sense for me, actually my personality, all that stuff made sense. So obviously I bang on about deal sourcing, but that's kind of the way I went. That's the route I went down, isn't it? Yeah. So for me, it was more like people are always constantly coming up to me, you know, I can help me find a deal. You know, just that just happened that I'm just the guy that can find deals. So I've done that consistently now. And then it got to a place where it's just like, actually, I'm getting more inquiries every month that if I just even just take deposits from these people, I can go full time.
Got you.
And it's like, okay, cool. Now let's transition this into an actual system. So that's when I focus on the system. And I think that's something that we don't talk much about enough about, is that a business, the way it replaces a 9-to-5 is through the system that you create. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
once you've got a system, and I'll give you an example. So for our deal sources, we have about, I have about 7 deal sources that work with me now. I would say 8, and maybe 8 or 9 as well on the side as well that do other kind of deal sourcing, but specifically a type
core
of
core team of.
Yeah, core team of 7 people. And every day, I have a system that they make X amount of calls. I can even give you the figure, but it's like 40 to 50 calls a day.
Each?
And we've and that takes about 2 to 3 hours, depending on how quick they are. And we've done the statistics that every time you do that call, we book on average like 4 to 5 viewings of those, so it's about 10% conversion of the calls that they make.
Per person.
Per person. Yeah. And of those ones that they actually call and that match the criteria, obviously the client that I've sent, about 20%, 20 to 30% always convert into a deal.
Okay.
So now I don't even think about anything else.
Okay.
All I say is you join the team, you're going to make 40 calls a day. It might take me 3 weeks to train you, but by the time you get on the training and you clock it, and the training now, because of the guys I've got now, within a week, these guys have got...
They know exactly what
they're doing, they're booking viewings, stuff like that. And then of those ones, I just know my calculation. I know how much I take from each deal. So now... the system's there, do you know what I'm trying to say? So it's like, the way you kind of, just as a tip to kind of get out of that 9-to-5 and really go into it, is like, build a system that's, number one, at the core makes sense, and then just add more fuels to the fire. So now, like, every 2 weeks, I'm going to add someone that fits the build, that fits the criteria.
Got you.
I know the personality that I need now to, like,
okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because it matches what I understand makes sense, if that makes sense. So I think that's another tip. Dual sourcing, have a business, like you said, when you got the equity partners that can go and fund the bigger deals, the bigger ticket deals, on the smaller end, those that you can do like smaller loan agreements with to kind of cover cost or do refurbs here and there, stuff like that. And then having a cash flow business, for me, then you have like the triple threat of what you need to be a good property sort of entrepreneur person, kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'll go into it probably maybe next time, but we're planning loads of workshops, loads of events over the next few months. I'm talking like five figure, like amount, like in terms of like, a lot of events next to over the next few weeks and weeks. So it's like through them as well, meeting new people again, getting new clients. We constantly gonna be in people's faces again. It allows us to then get those project management deals, get the property sourcing deals, raise the finance. You gotta be in front of people. So yeah, that's another thing I would say. Yeah,
yeah, and I would say at the start for me, like property management and like rent to rent was always the easiest option. Just in general, it was always the easiest option. And I'm not sure if he'll be cool with this, but I remember from property cohort, Roland. I remember me and him were chatting one time and then we were asking each other like, oh, okay, how do you make money from this? How do you make money from that? And then he said to me something about property management. And he was like, yeah, it's so easy. He had one. Well, he had a few, but he was talking to me about this one. And he was like, yeah, like it's just easy money. Buy to let, one tenant, 10% of whatever comes in, and you're not liable for whatever, you know, if there's no tenant, then there's no money. So you're incentivized to get tenants anyway, right? So yeah, he was telling me that. And then he was like, yeah, imagine if you got 10 of these, if you're earning, say, 3K a month from it, or they're paying 3K a month rent, and then you're getting free bills from that with no work, and then you're doing 10 of these. That is easy money. So I thought to myself, wow, that is easy. So the reason why cash flow to me was always important is because let's say you've got a project on and you're doing a flip and then you get, say, 50K profit from it. In that time for you to get the profit, how are you surviving? Do you see what I'm saying? And you know, people will average out, I'm making 5K a month, but for 6 months of that, they're not making nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? So you still need cash flow. So like working was always important, like having that cash flow to just be like, okay, this is keeping it going. Then when the lump sum comes, then you're happy days. So it's like, also bear that in mind as well, that even though I could say, I've made 100K from property, before you get to that point, you need people, you need partners with you. You need people who will have a lot of equity that they can give you to be able to fund certain things for this process. So yeah, that's how it was for me. Like I just knew that, okay, I'm gonna need cash flow for any type of property I'm doing, and bread and butter, property management, rent to rent, especially property management, I highly recommend it to start off with, because the thing is, once you're doing such a good job, and it's very easy to do a good job, word spreads, and then they might have a second property that they give you, and a third one. Then they say to their auntie friend, because let's say it's an auntie or an uncle, they might have a friend. Oh yeah, this this place is managed by Kenny very well.
That's all good.
I mean, the management, the front, like
even to piggyback off what you just said, the management stuff makes a lot of sense, because for just doing what Kenny just said, I'd be able to create like a letting agent just from doing, you know, we started with like one, two property or blah, 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 and then eventually another cash flowing business. Don't get twisted. I don't have a passion for managing tenants. I don't at all.
I know this.
If you listen to this podcast, you know all our rants in the past and stuff like that. But obviously it's a cash flowing business. It's bringing money in to support everything else.
It was the initial, the initial introduction, because at the end of the day, at the core of everything in property is management. Everything at the end of it. If you don't understand the fundamentals, how to get tenant into your your house, into your room, and maintain them there, you don't know property, because that's what it is.
Exactly. Even even the process of being a tenant finder, we were doing that for time. I was getting easy money from that. That was like, you could charge what, five bills.
I remember back
then
they used to charge tenants for reference. Yeah, that.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Application fee. Application free bill.
Getting bumped, fam.
Yeah.
Oh my days.
Amazing.
Life was. Yeah. So it's very important. Like we've
definitely
fought.
The youngers. I'll definitely those that are in university in different areas across the UK, and you know, you've got, we all got those properties, like that one-off property you got in some next area, like in Sheffield or Wigan or whatever. Like one uni student should be saying, "Oh, look, hey everyone, you know, you got a property around here. I'm happy to
that
manage
is it."
And
literally, word of mouth. If you talk to most people, they'll tell you that they got their other deals or their best deals from people who they already had one deal with. You know what I mean, it's that's normally how it works. Yeah. And before you know it, because you're doing such a good job, people will just recommend you to their mates who have money as well, or who have properties that you can manage or that you know, you can take over. So,
no, that's been a good episode, man.
Yeah, so we hope you've learned something. Hope you got caught up with us, and we answered a few of your questions.
And let us know your opinions as well. Like, what would you recommend in terms of, you know, how to transition, or you know, whether you prefer to stay in a 9-to-5 or a job, or you know, what's your thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, like, what is your thoughts? Because I think now on Spotify you can leave comments, innit? You can leave comments.
Yeah, free shots to do that, innit?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, free shots to the DM. I didn't even
know. Like, you can leave polls as well. So we might leave a little poll, and then just make sure that you comment. You know. Okay. So
yeah. All right, man.
And thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Cool.
Take care.
Peace.